This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters on the Morning Run. Today is World Radio Day. And what better day to be speaking to James Crinlan, a writer, consultant and public speaker on radio's future, or a radio futurologist, as he calls it. James, good to have you on the show today. Welcome to Pressing Matters.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Right, James. So happy World Radio Day to all of us in radio. I wonder whether that means anything to those who are not working within the radio industry. But of course, there's been news recently that that has kind of shaken the world of radio. That is Norway becoming the first country in the world to start switching off its FM radio network in favor of digital audio broadcasting. James, what do you think about this move? I mean, is this the end of an era for radio?
I don't think it's an end of an era for radio at all. All they're really doing is they're turning off one way of broadcasting radio to a radio receiver, just like anybody tunes into radio these days. They're turning off one way and turning on a different way. And it's a way that most people in Norway are already using. So, you know, DAB is much the same as an FM radio. You know, it still has an antenna on there, still has, you know, speakers on there. It still works fine in the car. It's just a different way of broadcasting radio. And what it actually means for people who are in Norway is that instead of having only about three or four stations available to them, all of a sudden they have over 30. So a tremendous choice. I know that there's a lot of choice in Malaysia, but there's, you know, there really hasn't been an awful lot of FM choice in Norway. So to be able to actually increase the amount of stations that you can get up to 30 or in some cases even more is really good news, I think, for both broadcasters and for people who tune in to the radio as well.
So James, the reason why the sudden increase in stations available is because it's no longer using frequencies, right? So it means there's a lot more bandwidth, so to speak, for other stations to come on board.
Yeah, I mean, without getting too hideously technical, it is still using a frequency, but let's not worry about that bit too much. But what it enables, this new form of broadcasting radio enables you to do is squeeze many more stations onto the same transmitters, and it's the cost of the transmitters and the cost of the coverage which is the thing which is really expensive. So actually it means that you can start broadcasting many more stations. There are also additional benefits, like you tune into a radio station with a frequency, with a name rather than with a frequency. So no more remembering 89.9. You just need to remember BFM, and if you can find BFM on your radio, then that's great. You can actually tune in.
Right.
You know, so there are additional benefits there, but the main benefit is additional choice, and it's still broadcast radio, so it's still free to everybody. And a brand new radio, well, it's about $40 or $50. It's not an awful lot in the great scheme of things. And Norway's a relatively rich place as well.
Will the infrastructure remain the same, James? I mean, you mentioned that Norwegians will still be able to listen to the radio in their cars. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. So most cars now available in Norway have a DAB radio in them, as well as FM or AM. So you'll find that works absolutely fine. I'm speaking to you today from Australia, and we use DAB here in Australia as well in the large capital cities, and my car has DAB in there as well. So again, what that means is that instead of less of a choice on FM, I just have more choice of radio stations, and they're easier to actually find. What it means for transmitters is that every radio stations are actually using the same masts that you see everywhere. Mm. Why that's important is that then makes it much cheaper to cover the entire country, and you'll know that Norway is very hilly. There are lots of mountains there. There are lots of tunnels and all kinds of things. So if every radio station is actually essentially paying for the same transmitter, that means that it's much cheaper to make sure that you've got enough transmitters to cover the entire country and to make sure that the reception sounds really good.
So this seems to be, in a sense, you know, the pros outweigh the cons. Are there any cons here? Are there any drawbacks to Norway switching off its FM?
Oh, plenty of drawbacks. One of the drawbacks is, of course, that it takes radio off the FM dial. So if you're listening to most radio stations in Norway, you won't be able to by the end of the year. They've already started turning those off for FM. So if you only have an FM radio, your radio will be useless. But having said that, a lot of Norwegians have already made the change. DAB has been around in Norway for the last 4 or 5 years now. Already over 50% of people use it every single week. That will, you know, clearly already go up. And there are other ways of tuning in to radio in Norway as well, whether that's tuning in through the TV or tuning in through mobile phone apps or over the internet. You know, there are plenty of ways to still tune into your favorite station. So hopefully we shouldn't see too many people leaving radio because they find it harder. We'll just find that, you know, there will be a few people who will need to go out and buy a brand new radio if they don't already own one.
Well, let's talk about that, because I'm curious to know what you think about the effects of smartphones on radio listening. So let's say smartphones are one of the mediums that people use to listen to the radio rather than just in the car or traditionally as you're, you know, cooking about in your kitchen. What do you think about the role of the smartphone in the future of radio?
Well, I think that the role of radio as a whole, by the way, is incredibly strong. So in Malaysia at the moment, over 90% of people, in fact, over 97% of people tune into the radio every single week. So radio is still a tremendously popular thing. What's changing about radio is that it's being consumed in lots of different ways. Instead of everybody tuning into FM radio as it was in the past, now people are tuning into radio depending on where you are, over things like DAB and using things like smartphones. So when you have a look at radio over smartphones, actually about half of the phones that you can buy at the moment already have an FM radio in them. So that's a really cheap way of getting radio. The main one that doesn't have FM radio in there is the Apple iPhone, for reasons only Apple will understand. You know, accepting that, most of the new, most of the decent Samsung phones and those types of things have an FM radio inside them. But of course, what you can also do is tune into radio and to additional audio services through your mobile phone's internet connection. So everything from tuning into an internet radio stream, and it might be the radio stream of your station, it might be a radio station from hundreds or thousands of miles away, but also you can of course tune into podcasts, on-demand pieces of audio and that kind of thing. Listening to radio on a mobile phone, and indeed listening to audio that I would call radio, so things like podcasts as well, is still pretty small. You're not looking, it's under 10% of all radio listening. So it's not very large, but, there's certainly no reason to suspect that that won't grow and continue to grow in years ahead.
Well, James, you've worked in radio for many years now, 1989, is that right?
Yes, that's when I started.
Okay. Well, have you found that you've changed the way you consume radio?
I certainly have. I think, you know, as you grow older, the type of radio that you listen to changes. You know, you're no longer particularly interested in listening to pop music and that kind of thing. As you go older, you're more interested in listening to speech. You're more interested in listening to the news and to stories and other things. So there is that change, and that change happens all over the world. I've certainly found that I'm now listening to more podcasts. I'm listening to more bits of radio from across the world. Of course, I'm not very normal because, you know, it's my job to have a listen to an awful lot of different bits of radio. But one of the things that I'm particularly interested and excited about is the opportunity of personalization, of being able to give me more bits of radio that I will enjoy and less bits of radio that I won't. So I'm not really very interested in sport, as an example. So it'd be brilliant if I could get a version of a radio station that contains no sports news, because I'm not interested, and maybe a little bit more technology news instead. And those types of services, more personalized radio stations, are actually beginning to appear, both in terms of talk, but also in terms of music as well.
You're listening to The Morning Run, and I'm speaking to James Cridlin about the future of radio. We'll be back with more in just a few minutes, so make sure you stay tuned right here on Pressing Matters on BFM 89.9. Good morning, you're listening to Pressing Matters on The Morning Run. Today is World Radio Day, and to find out how radio is evolving, I've got radio futurologist James Cridlin on the line from Brisbane, Australia. So just before the break, we were talking about the NPR One app, which allows radio to be personalized to each individual user. So James, how would that work? I mean, how would radio be personalized to according to your own tastes and preferences?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, you know, this interview will be a really good 20-minute long piece of audio that somebody might want to have a listen to. And it doesn't necessarily need to be live. So you could, for example, make this little piece of audio available on your website or inside an app, as well as lots of other pieces of audio, and really just make sure that the algorithm, your mobile phone app, plays you things that it thinks that you're interested in.
Oh.
So if it spots that you know, this next 10-minute piece is all about American football, then don't play it to James, because James doesn't want American football. And there is actually already an app which is doing this. There are a number of different apps. There's the large public radio network in the US, NPR.
The NPR One app. Do you think that's a good app?
Yeah. Indeed, the NPR One app, and that's exactly what the NPR One app does. It recognizes the stories I skip, and so gives me less of those. Recognizes the stories that I mark as interesting, and gives me more of those. And I listen to it a lot because, you know, it does give me more of the stuff I want and less of the stuff I don't. It's a really interesting listen, assuming, of course, that you're just really interested in American politics and stuff. And at the moment, of course, who isn't?
So do you think NPR has got it right in transitioning from the old to the new in having these multi-platforms?
I think that, you know, there are a number of great broadcasting companies across the world who have grabbed the opportunities that new platforms have to offer. NPR is a great example of that, in that they've both got, you know, this personalized radio service, NPR One. They are really concentrating on producing content which works great on the radio, but also works on podcasts, also works in other places as well, on Facebook and so on. And it really is, you know, it's all about making the most out of your content. So if you broadcast something once, then you delete it and get rid of it and move on, then that's a bit of a waste of time, a bit of a waste of that content. And so for quite a lot of the clients who I speak to across the world, I'm helping them understand what else they can do with that great content that they have. Mm-hmm. You know, and typically a radio listener will listen to radio for maybe 20 hours or 21 hours a week. That means that there's a lot of radio that they miss, that they never hear. And really the secret, I think, is to make sure that as radio broadcasters, we are making it really easy for our audience to find great pieces of content from their favorite stations that they can go back and, you know, and search for and use.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, James. Sorry to interrupt, but that's a really interesting point. And I just want to get your thoughts on radio that's been delayed. So delayed radio, radio on demand, as opposed to podcasts. Are they the same thing in your mind?
I think they are almost identical, yes. I think that there is there's a bit of a boring technical definition there, in that one of them might be broadcast, one of them might be downloaded, and one of them might not be. But I think, you know, essentially they are virtually identical. I think the word podcast is horrid, but I think that we're stuck with it, so therefore we kind of have to use it.
Why is it horrid, but, you know, in your mind?
Well, because it's nothing to do with broadcast, and it doesn't only work on iPods, and, you know, it's just a useless name for something which is essentially, you know, it's personalized audio. It's audio on demand. That's what it's great at. And if, you know, if I want to have a listen to a beautifully crafted podcast, or I want to have a listen to, you know, the morning run, maybe I missed it yesterday, or maybe I missed it earlier on in the morning, you know, whatever, it doesn't necessarily matter. I'm still going to be consuming it in the same way. I'm still going to be finding it on a smartphone, probably, and then having a listen to it, you know, through headphones or in the car. So really, the definitions in between them aren't that strong. You know, clearly, there are differences in editorial content, and whether that's differences in the type of audience that you're trying to get, whether it's of global interest or interest only in the US or only in Malaysia, you know, all of that is of course, you know, a different thing. But I think, you know, fundamentally, audio on demand is all the same. And actually, to an extent, I think that on demand audio and live audio, the differences in between those are getting less and less as well. Mm. You know, it's not that important for much radio to go out live, with the exception probably of news broadcasts. But I think, you know, accepting that, you know, actually we could be pre-recording this, you know, a couple of weeks ahead of time. It wouldn't make any difference to the quality of the interview or, you know, how good it sounds.
So what do you think it is? Is it a mindset of the people within the radio industry? Does that need to change?
I think that there are a few things. I think that firstly, there is a mindset with certain people in radio that they think that they are operating a transmitter business and keeping an FM transmitter going. And there are quite a few people like this who then focus on, well, how can we make our transmitter make noise 24 hours a day? You know, what next to feed our transmitter? And actually, you know, at the end of the day, that's not, I think, the right way of looking at what radio is. You know, radio is, how can we make great audio? How can we tell amazing stories? How can we use radio to get that incredible human connection that it has with so many of our audiences? That's the important part about radio. Whether it's live or not live is kind of, you know, not that important. And on the other side, live radio is actually probably in many cases cheaper than pre-recording things and mm-hmm. spending time editing it down and everything else. But actually, more and more people are now consuming podcasts which have had an awful lot of time spent on them, beautifully edited down, beautifully crafted with music and with all of the ums and the ahs taken out of every single interview and everything else. And so actually, almost to an extent, live radio now sounds worse than podcasts. So I think we just need to be a little bit careful and clever about how we create content in the future, and whether live is as important as we've historically thought it is, or whether actually more content could be made ahead of time, repeated, because that's important as well, and made available in as many different platforms as we possibly can. That, I think, is where the future of radio is going.
One element of live, James, is the interactivity that live radio brings. Is that something that we'll miss by having audio on demand?
I think interactivity is hugely important. And I think, you know, it is important to hear from your audience. Indeed, that's the whole point of World Radio Day today. They're talking about actually hearing from audiences. You know, as a UNESCO event, one of the points of it is to actually talk about listening to audiences, responding to their needs, getting across that diversity of views and voices. I don't necessarily think that that needs to be completely live. And I think that actually listening to audiences, reflecting what they're saying, can be done just as well if you're not live as if you are live. So I'm not sure that the live thing is as important.
Would you use social media for that? Does radio have a role with social media?
Radio has a massive role with social media, as indeed every other business does, you know, as well. And I think, you know, social media is a great way for any business to get much closer to its audience or its purchasers. you know, because that way you find out what people like about you, what people don't like about you. You can actually make changes to your product very, very quickly because you can spot what people are saying about it. And radio is no different in that regard. I think that actually you could almost say that social media has harmed radio a little bit in that we've grown used to reading people's SMSs and WhatsApp messages and stuff like that, rather than getting people on the phone and hearing a variety of different voices of different stories. And so maybe what radio can learn from is to have a look back in the history of radio and understand the benefit of actually getting a lot of different voices on the air through the telephone, through going out into the streets and talking to people, rather than necessarily just, you know, reading out another WhatsApp message, you know, fun though that can be, of course.
Well, James Crinlan, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you so much for sharing your insights. But before I let you go, I do have to ask, what is your favorite podcast at the moment?
I have just found a brand new podcast which launched a couple of weeks ago from the New York Times, and it's called, I think it's called The Daily. Mm-hmm. And it's only 20 minutes long. I've always thought of the New York Times as being a very stuffy newspaper, very old-fashioned, you know, quite boring. And this podcast is beautifully produced. It's excellently put together. And they talk to a lot of the over 1,000 journalists who work on that paper. And as I say, it's only 20 minutes long. So it's great. Clearly not for your morning commute, because you've got a great radio station to have a listen to, but maybe for your, I don't know, afternoon commute. It's a great podcast to actually stick on. So The Daily, brand new from the New York Times.
James, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
That was James Crinlan, a radio futurologist, as we celebrate World Radio Day. I'm Melissa Idris for BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.